Neve Solicitors are proud to sponsor The Parent Show. The friendly team at Neve's includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit nevesolicitors.co.uk. Neve Solicitors, your complete legal solution.
Welcome to The Parents Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. I'm Lydia Elcourie.
And I'm Cathy Weston.
Tonight we're talking about gnashers, aren't we, Cathy?
That's right, kids' teeth. Basically, the whole entire show is devoted to children's teeth, which is very exciting. We're going to be joined this evening by Peter McCarran, who's the owner and principal dentist of a private dental clinic in the heart of Belfast. So Peter's going to be on the phone with us very shortly.
That's right, and we've been gathering questions all week from through Facebook from all of our listeners to put to Peter this evening. So we have a long list of questions for the poor guy. But in the studio with us is one particular person who's put some questions. It's Vicky Chow, who's a local mum of one, and she'll be quizzing Peter too. And later on in the show, we're going to be talking to the principal of Monkey Music in Harpenden and St Albans as they celebrate 21 years in the business. So that'll be Liz Barr talking to us later on the show.
So let's hope Peter McCarran is on the phone. Peter, are you there?
Hi there, girls.
Hi, Peter, how are you?
Lovely to talk to you, Peter.
Great to talk to you, too.
Okay, Peter, we're going to kick off with a very basic question. How often should we be brushing our children's teeth?
Well, at the very least twice a day, obviously morning and night. But if they're eating sweets or having lots of fizzy drinks during the day, then we'd maybe want to have an extra one thrown in after they consume.
Oh, none of our listeners give their children sweets or fizzy drinks.
Yes, we're all immune to it.
So a minimum of twice a day.
At least twice a day, morning and night.
And one thing that we've been discussing about before we came on air, should children brush their own teeth?
Well, children, young children don't really have the manual dexterity to brush their own teeth properly. Now, the problem is that we want to try and encourage them to do so and to get into the habit of brushing their teeth. So below the age of about 7, and in some cases 8, the children really aren't brushing their teeth right. And the way I like to explain to the mums and dads is the best thing to do is for them to get the children to brush their teeth and then say, look, it's mummy or daddy's turn now, and then the parent then to brush the teeth and give you a real good proper clean then. And that way both get to participate and yet the teeth get cleaned properly.
And Peter, can we actually ask you about the technique of brushing? Because often it happens, you know, in the evening, parents are very tired, it's a shame to say, and you sort of tend to rush it. And when you're brushing your own children's teeth, how long do you spend doing it? Do you help them? I know they're sort of 8 to 10 years of age, you know. What's your advice on that?
Well, certainly mine are now getting to the age where they can do their own, but I will still occasionally have a go as well. What I would say is that the best way is to time the teeth and take 2 minutes over, which is a long time with toothbrush in your mouth, and it can be very difficult with children. So what I try and do is cover all the surfaces first, and then if they're up for it, then go around and be a bit more methodical, but make sure that we get the insides, the biting surface and the outsides of the teeth. But electric toothbrushes are brilliant for this sort of thing because they brush the teeth in small little circles and really can then get into the nooks and crannies of the teeth and gums. So most of the kids like it. It's buzzy and it's a bit different and a bit sort of high-tech, if you like.
Yeah, and especially because you can get like Spider-Man or Barbie
ones.
And
in fact, some of them actually have music that plays for the 2 minutes. So they know the time is up when the music stops playing, which is a really good idea.
So you're saying minimum of 2 minutes with or without an electric toothbrush, but ideally with an electric toothbrush.
Yes, absolutely.
And is there a big difference between the electric toothbrushes on the market? Like, is there a certain age children can start having an electric toothbrush, or can you do it as soon as they've got teeth?
Well, I mean, certainly from 3 on, we find that a lot of children love the electric toothbrushes. Some below that because it's buzzy and fun, but definitely from 3, it's a great thing. There are specific children's toothbrushes on the market that sometimes are very cheap in Tesco's and can be getting special offers and things. But the great thing about the electric toothbrush is the way it actually cleans your teeth is much more thorough than a manual toothbrush. so it gets rid of a lot of technique problems, providing you're covering all the surfaces, of course.
Now, Peter, we're just going to bring in our mum, local mum, Vicky Chow, here to join the discussion. If you hear three female voices coming in here. And we just wanted to say about the... We're moving on to thumb sucking, unless you had any more questions about the brushing technique, Vicky.
No, I think that's pretty well
covers it.
Yeah.
Okay. So on to thumb sucking, Peter. What's the impact of that on younger children? It's so common. And can it be ever sorted out at an earlier age?
Thumb sucking is a very difficult thing to sort out. I know because one of mine sucked her thumb. And it's a real comfort to the child. So therefore, it's very useful for getting them to sleep. The problem with thumbs is we all carry our thumbs with us, and therefore it's very difficult to remove. The difficulty is it creates an open bite at the front. So if you're taking a sandwich, you find it very difficult to bite the sandwich with the front teeth. You have to use your side teeth. Now, in the baby teeth, it's not a great issue. It's not perfect, but it's not a terrible issue. It really becomes a problem if the child is then sucking their thumb into sort of 8, 9, 10 and beyond. It can create differences then with the position of the teeth and also the position of the bones of the roof of the mouth. So it is very difficult to have it to stop. I mean, certainly the obvious one is the nail biting solutions you pin on their thumbs. You can also get thumb guards, which you place over the thumb, and I can tell you they fight tooth and nail to try and get that thing off. And really, it's just a case of trying to educate the child until they really understand that it's not a good thing, and hopefully then wean them off it. But it's difficult, very, very difficult.
Okay, now, Vicky, I know you've got lots of questions for Peter. Do you want to kick off there?
Yeah, well, my son's 9, Peter, and
yes.
From the minute Oliver had teeth come through, I took him to the dentist. He has always brushed twice a day. He's had a very healthy diet. I don't give him lots of sweets. He rarely has fizzy drinks. And all this, and he has a mouthful of fillings. His baby teeth, he's had 4 fillings on his baby teeth. They've had to be filled where the gaps are, because he's got quite big gaps between his teeth.
Yes.
And the dentist said it's difficult to get the plaque off from the edges of the teeth where the gaps are. The fillings haven't been on the cusps of the teeth.
Yes. Do you mean in between the teeth?
In between the teeth. So his teeth will on one of the edge, it just looked like an apple that had been bitten into. So he had 4 fillings when he was about 5. On 2 of those teeth, abscesses formed, so he had to have 2 of those teeth removed. He's even had to have a filling underneath the gum line. That's not even where we could access the teeth to brush. It was actually under the gum line that was only visible on an x-ray.
Yeah.
So those are his baby teeth. The rest are fine at the moment. On the 4 back adult teeth that he's had come through, on one of them, the enamel hasn't formed properly.
Yeah.
And although the dentist has sealed all 4 of those teeth, on the tooth that the enamel hasn't formed, decay has formed around the sealant, so only last week he had to remove that sealant and put a filling in. In an adult tooth that has barely been through for 18 months.
Yes.
But I've got quite a few questions to ask you.
Absolutely.
I know you say if they do eat sweets, you need to brush after. Now, I've had to do all my own research, because as fantastic as our dentist is, he isn't really forthcoming with advice, so I've had to do a lot of research myself.
Yes,
I've read that you shouldn't brush immediately after you've eaten, because the acid levels are quite high in the mouth. So how long after he's eaten sweets or he's had milk before he goes to bed should he brush his teeth? How long should I need to wait?
Well, one thing you could do, and they actually like this, is give him some sugar-free chewing gum.
Yeah.
Sugar-free chewing gum buffers the acid in the mouth because it makes you produce more saliva. So obviously then you wash it away.
Okay.
Rinsing with just water, ordinary water, will certainly help to buffer that away as well. But, I mean, the key issue here is it sounds as if his teeth are, you know, have come through and they haven't been properly developed.
Yeah.
As they were being built, if you like. Now, this is there's a number of different things it could be, and obviously I haven't seen him, so I don't know if I'm absolutely sure in this, but it sounds like he has a thing called enamel hyperplasia.
Yeah.
Now, the difficulty with that is that it is, the enamel doesn't form correctly in certain parts of the tooth. So those are weak, and sometimes the enamel, in extreme cases, doesn't form at all.
Mm.
But I think he would obviously have some. And so therefore, he is a sort of a unique case, if you like, in that, although there's lots of children have this, those children really have to be careful in the amount of sugar they, you know, take in.
Yeah.
And brushing the teeth after for him, I think, would be essential.
Okay.
In terms of the treatment for that, it's really all about trying to minimize the damage that can be done to the enamel and the tooth underneath. Has he had any fluoride drops or tablets?
Well, the dentist has coated a few of his teeth with fluoride. That was another question I needed to ask you. How often should that be done? At the moment, we are seeing the dentist every 3 months. He's
Brilliant.
Keeping a real close eye on him.
Okay.
But how often should I ask him to put the fluoride on his teeth?
Well, if it's a really... normally, we put the fluoride on every 6 months.
Right.
And also then the possibility of taking fluoride drops or tablets that you take at home. They used to be prescribed for all children, but then they went out of fashion because too much fluoride obviously then can cause a mottling in the teeth, which when you're 9 it won't make a difference because those are only the front teeth that you would see.
Okay.
Now certainly you won't want to be putting on a fluoride varnish on every 6 months. It's a very, very concentrated amount of varnish.
Yeah.
And then possibly talking to your dentist about getting a prescription for maybe fluoride drops or tablets as well.
Okay.
Water is your only friend here.
Yeah.
I mean, even milk has sugars in it, believe it or not.
Yeah.
And milk at night, you definitely want to brush your teeth after you take milk at night. So the nighttime drink and drink for... most of it should be water.
Yeah.
If at all possible, although you'd be one step ahead of me, if you can do a sweetie day, which would be the day that the only day that he would eat sweets.
Okay.
Oliver's going to hate me.
But what kind of water? Because where we live in West Hertfordshire, it's quite a hard water area. Does that make any difference with the water? Would you suggest buying mineral water or?
No, well, the water is just instead of milk, juice, fizzies. I mean, the amount of sugar we're consuming in, you know, even fruit juices is phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of, from my point of view, very good press out at the moment about how much sugar we're consuming that's hidden. So when you start to look at cereals and fizzy drinks and even fruit juices, there's a lot of sugar in there that is causing huge amounts of problems, both in terms of our general health, but more specifically for our dental health. And of course, poor Oliver, having some teeth not properly formed, then he's also under further pressure.
Yeah, I mean, also what I've found out through my research is any drink that he does have, except for water, needs to be taken through a straw to stop the drink, even the milk, just coating his teeth. So he does have a straw.
The problem with the straw is the sugar's still in your mouth. It's coating your mouth, and the bacteria use it immediately, even on your tongue, to raise the pH levels. Now, that's not what they're doing. They're using it as an energy. But that using it as energy raises the pH levels in your mouth. So the straw helps a minuscule amount of...
Okay.
What really helps is having it super, super cold. Acid, if you remember back to your chemistry days, acid is works best at a higher temperature. So anything you're drinking that is acidic, the more ice you have in it and the more cold it is, the less acidic effect it has.
Oh, okay.
Now, sugary drinks still have the sugar in them, so they're still going to increase the amount of acid in the mouth. But if you were having, say, a diet drink, which isn't great for your teeth either, sadly, but because it has so much acid in it, then if you take it with loads and loads of ice, then that reduces the effect of the acid on your teeth.
Yeah.
Peter, is an optimal drink for Oliver icy water then? Is that what you're saying?
No, because water has a neutral pH. It's not going to affect him in any way. He can certainly take ice in it, but it'll make no difference to the drink. The optimal drink for Oliver is water,
yeah.
But the optimal drink for everyone is water.
And
sadly,
Peter,
water
Peter,
isn't.
If he was your child, what would you be doing? You've given us three tips there that Vicky can take home. You know,
yeah.
Would you rule out the milk at night completely? Would you have one sweet day, maybe a week? What's your advice if he was your son?
If he was my son, I would have him brushing his teeth twice a day and maybe taking a fluoride mouthwash in the middle of the day, maybe when he comes home from school.
Yeah, I've literally last week bought a fluoride mouthwash. Now,
yes.
On the bottle, it doesn't actually say how often to take it. It says rinse it round your mouth in between brushing.
But well, there's a lot of changing theories on that, and
yeah.
At the moment, it seems to be the best time is in the middle of the day.
Yeah, so he needs to take the bottle to school.
So you're getting three hits of the fluoride. So you've got the fluoride in the morning.
Yeah.
With your toothbrush and then when you come home from school, another rinse of fluoride then, and then after when you go to bed, you brush your teeth. As far as the milk's concerned, if he likes milk and doesn't want to give that up in the evening, take the milk and then brush his teeth, and then any drink after that should be water.
Yeah.
And I would definitely look into seeing if he can get fluoride drops or tablets.
Yeah.
And a sweetie day is what everyone in the world should do, very few of us do, where you confine the amount of sweets he's eaten to a party or one day of the week that you can have that treat.
That is a fantastic idea. The other thing about milk and things, would, if I gave Oliver like calcium-rich food, would that strengthen the teeth that haven't come through yet, or even the ones that are through? If I gave him more cheese, and would that help his teeth?
In terms of development, the body tends to favour the teeth over bones in terms of where to put the calcium.
Yeah.
So if you are starving, you will still have amazingly beautiful white teeth, because your body will prioritise your teeth. Because
yeah.
You need your teeth to eat. Your bones can remineralise and demineralise when you've eaten. So the body will lock in that calcium, and that's why once you have your calcium locked in from the teeth, it's not lost except with acids and sugar. So the only thing that can take that calcium out once you've built your teeth is when you have decay in your mouth. Now, in terms of when he's growing, yes, some calcium in the system will help his bones and his teeth that are developing at that time. At the age of 9, his second molar teeth are, and his premolars and all the other teeth are all starting to come through or beginning to be ready to come through. So it doesn't have a great effect on that, but it's always useful in terms of the bones. So it doesn't have a great effect on teeth.
Yeah.
Even though the Milk Marketing Board many years ago cottoned on to that idea. I mean, your teeth will only ever take the amount of calcium that's there when they're being made. And they cannot add more later.
Okay.
What does help them is fluoride. Fluoride allows your teeth to remineralize in your mouth.
Yeah.
And so therefore, if your teeth are clean, they won't then remineralize. The other thing I would suggest for Oliver is, because he's getting so much going on in between his teeth, you want to try and get, not floss, but the interdental brushes, the little miniature brushes that are like little bottle brushes.
Yeah.
And even with the toothpaste, you can sort of gently clean in between the teeth. Now, he should be able to do it himself once you show him how it's done.
Yeah.
We use T-Pez, but there's loads of different brands of them, and just find one that he can use. And even then, maybe once or twice a week, instead of him just cleaning in with those, use a bit of toothpaste on it to wipe those surfaces with, again, some more fluoride.
Okay.
And that's not something I think parents would ever think to do, is A, use those, or B, put toothpaste on them. That's quite exciting, because they do get into the crevices quite well, don't they?
Oh, they're brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And it's shocking what comes out.
I mean, once a week, every Saturday morning, I make him chew on a disclosing tablet after he's brushed his teeth.
Yes.
And it's amazing. There's still a sea of pink. So I make him go back and brush his teeth, and he does manage to get it all off. But I just can't do that every day.
Yeah, sadly, Vicky, the problem with teeth is that we are all different. And unfortunately, Oliver may have the best cleaning system and regime in the world, but his teeth are weakened.
Yeah.
Other kids just don't bother cleaning their teeth at all, but their enamel's very thick. And the anatomy of their teeth means that they're unlikely to get decay unless they really, really abuse their teeth in terms of diet, fizzy drinks, and sugar. So it is, it's just very unfortunate for Oliver. The plus side is if he stays off the sugar, he'll be far healthier.
Yeah, he's quite healthy. He's just got bad teeth.
Peter, can we talk about fillings? It's something that affects all of us. I think they're called amalgam fillings, the sort of silver ones. What's the scoop on the white ones versus the grey ones?
Well, the amalgam fillings are being phased out across Europe. Amalgam fillings are, they've been around 150 years, and they're basically an amalgamation of different metals, and depending on the type of amalgam you use. But the one thing they all have in common is they all have mercury in them. Now, that is why they're being phased out across Europe. Already in Norway and Sweden, they're banned. But basically, the issue with those is that they are an old type of filling, and when you have them in your teeth, they expand when you have something hot, they contract when you have something cold, and then they create little cracks in the teeth that can then either become catastrophic or just give a small amount of trouble, depending on how lucky you are and also how much you grind your teeth.
Okay, now let's talk about teeth grinding, because that's something children and adults do. If we've got children teeth grinding at home of different ages, what can we do about it? When do we intervene? Do they need mouth guards? I think this is a question you had, Vicky, as well, about mouth guards for children.
Yeah, I was told he wouldn't give Oliver a mouth guard, because he does, I do hear him grinding his teeth sometimes. He said while his jaw and teeth are still growing, not to give him one, but I have been tempted to put his rugby mouth guard in when he goes to bed.
Well, the thing about children grinding and adult grinding, they're two different causes, generally. So most children are grinding their teeth because they have new teeth forming within the gums, and they're coming up, and the teeth are pushing up through the gums slowly, and so therefore you remember the teething rings when Oliver was young and he wanted to coat bite on them. Well, that's why he's grinding his teeth usually when you're younger. When you grind your teeth when you're older, it's because of stress and and habitual grinding as well, where people will grind their teeth when they're stressed out as a reaction to the stress hormones in their body, and that helps them to dissipate those hormones. Not a very good way, because it breaks teeth and gives you headaches, but there's very different causes. But that is right, you certainly, and the problem with putting anything in the mouth for a child overnight is that it changes the bite, and so therefore it can alter the way the jaw develops and can alter the way the teeth erupt.
Yeah.
And that's why we use those orthodontic appliances when we want to try and push the jaw into maybe growing a bit longer in the bottom or moving the teeth around. So, and the people who do that are very skilled with a postgraduate degree in orthodontics to be able to do those in a very controlled way. And so therefore, while it's tempting to give them a bite guard as you would to an adult, you can really then create problems down the line.
Yeah.
That's why you won't find a dentist who will put a bite guard in a child's tooth. And it tends to be more light grinding and scringing of the teeth because of the new teeth coming through interrupting.
Yeah, it's basically, when I go and before I go to bed, if I go and see that he's okay,
as
he's just changing position, he'll just do a quick grind.
Yeah.
It's not sort of like all night long or anything, but
absolutely.
I just thought, well, that can't be helping his bad teeth,
grinding. Well, of course, it probably doesn't help a great deal, but it's not also doing the same amount of damage that an adult will do with a very developed jaw and muscle.
Yeah. Okay. Mm. Can I just quickly ask you about the white filling? Because the filling that he's had in his back tooth, I asked for it to be white because, you know, the scaremongering stories about the amalgam. Now, my amalgam fillings have lasted over 20 years. Are white fillings as strong and durable as the amalgam fillings?
They are now, yes.
They are.
Certainly evidence is coming out now that there are a number of different types of white filling. And actually the one that Oliver needs are the reinforced glass ionomer fillings, which have fluoride in them.
You're going to have to say that again, Peter.
Let's write that down.
Reinforced what?
Glass.
Did you say glass?
Glass, yes.
Reinforced glass.
Ionomers.
Ionomers, goodness me.
I shall be taking that word to
my
dentist.
I'm sure your dentist probably used that.
He did have a quiet discussion with the dental nurse and they had to go off to another room to get it.
Yes, so I would imagine, because it's the perfect filling for a child's tooth that has enamel that isn't developing properly.
Okay, I'll check.
Actually, at the weekend I was reading some reports that there's longitudinal studies now that are showing that it is almost nearly as good as amalgam, and not quite as good as the other type of white filling, but it is really quite good long-term results.
Okay. Sorry, last question.
Lydia keeps saying she wants to jump in on the microphone. We've got lots. I hope you're comfortable, Peter, because there's more to come.
Just last question. I've read in the newspaper that there's been quite a few innovations in dentistry.
Yes.
I've got the newspaper in front of me. Hold on.
She's actually got a newspaper article here. So
fantastic.
Within a year, we should be able to get a paint that they can paint on the teeth to protect them from acid erosion. This was researchers at the University of Leeds. Do you know anything about that?
Only what you've read. I read the same article.
It was in the Mail, I think.
I have to say, it sounds fantastic. And I can't wait.
Yes.
But I've been a dentist 20 years, and every so often the new magic potion comes out, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
And so if it works, we're all delighted, and if it doesn't, we're all disappointed. So at this stage of my career, I just wait and see, and when the evidence comes out and the product comes out, then I'm more than happy to use it.
Yeah.
So yes, I really hope it does. It sounded fantastic.
So we just need to keep asking the dentist if he can get hold of it.
Well, I think what you would find is when we do get hold of it, the dentist will be shouting about it.
Okay.
Because, you know, that sort of thing is something that we'd all love. You just paint it on and you know, it'll help protect the teeth. I mean, it is an absolutely brilliant idea.
Mm.
Brilliant idea, and I hope it comes to fruition.
Lovely.
Great. Now, I'm jumping in here, Peter.
Yes.
We've got one of our regular listeners, Kathleen Ball, has sent some questions in. And she says, please tell us more about the common dental condition which affects 1 in 10 kids called shark's teeth, whereby the adult teeth come in a row behind the milk teeth rather than underneath them. If this happens on the bottom row, will it also happen on the top row?
Well, this is an unusual situation where the baby teeth on the bottom row are about the same size as the baby teeth, the adult teeth that are about to take over them. And when they come through, the teeth are very often pointing inwards towards the tongue. So the new adult teeth come up behind the baby teeth effectively. But because they're about the same size, the baby teeth's roots aren't dissolved fully. And so, therefore, it takes a while for the tongue to push those new adult teeth forward. And as they're being pushed forward, the baby teeth's roots are being dissolved inside the gums. And so it is a condition that worries a lot of parents, and they often come in to me and go, oh, what's going on here? And really, it's just a case of letting Mother Nature take its course. Because the teeth have come up behind the other ones, they can come up in front, but very rarely do they do that. The tongue is a big, massive, if you like, orthodontic device that pushes the teeth forward, and the lips are a big massive elastic band that pushes them back. And the space in between that, where we all have our teeth, is called the freeway space, where the two forces balance out. So very quickly the teeth are pushed forward and the baby teeth dissolve. Now, when I say very quickly, that can be months in some people's cases, but it's nothing to worry about. It doesn't tend to happen on the front, the top teeth as much. One of the reasons, I think, is that the top teeth are very, very big compared to the baby teeth, and therefore they dissolve a lot more root before they appear out. And therefore, when they come, the baby tooth is just hanging on by a thread if they do appear together. But usually the baby tooth is long gone before it comes through. So, yeah, it's a very interesting appearance.
And is it likely to affect younger siblings if one child has it, that the other siblings likely to get it?
Well, of course, we all have teeth that are very like our family's teeth. You know, the genetic component of everyone's teeth is fairly similar. But generally, I haven't found that to be the case. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. It's not a thing we even are slightly concerned about as dentists. It just looks really weird for the parents.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's not something we worry about. It's just sort of an oddity, if you like, something that's it's worrying looking when you first see it. But once you have it explained, generally the parents are happy and they go on, and then the teeth themselves sort it all out. Or should I say the tongue sorts it all out.
Fantastic. That's great. Okay, next question, Peter. Why are so many kids' new adult teeth so much less white than the original milk teeth? Some kids have gleaming white adult teeth, but others' brand new teeth are somewhat dull and almost discoloured. Is this caused by antibiotics which discolour the developing adult teeth inside the jaw? Would a whitening toothpaste be suitable?
No, whitening toothpaste wouldn't be suitable. And the reason is that the teeth themselves have their own internal colour, and the whitening toothpastes are only good for removing external stains. So they're not coming through and being stained. They're coming through the colour they are. The best way to think of adult teeth is that the milk teeth are formed very, very quickly, and they are white and full of calcium and break down very easily. The adult teeth are formed very, very slowly. It takes about 12 years for your body to make an adult tooth. So even when your tooth comes through at the age of 6, the root has still got 6 more years of growing to finish the tooth off, which is why you fall on your bike. It can be so bad for fixing your teeth. But the thing is that because they're far better formed, the calcium is locked in deeper and much more solid, and therefore it can appear beside the milk teeth as if your teeth are dull. But it's only a contrast. So you have a white tooth versus a super white tooth. Obviously the white tooth is going to look dull. So it's really only a contrast. And I sometimes say it's like putting up a cream curtain against a white wall. It just looks really odd. But once the baby teeth fall out, then the teeth suddenly seem to be brighter. It's just the illusion of having the baby teeth beside them. But it's because the teeth are far better formed and far stronger.
Fantastic. That's great, Peter. And another question. What are the best dental products to use on children's teeth? She's asking again, a toothpaste with whitening agent, mouthwash, flossing, from what age?
Flossing is from whatever age you can get the child to do it. Now, flossing and the little interdental brushes are all the same, you know, the cleaning in between the teeth. Now, below the age of 7 or 8, you just don't have the manual dexterity to do that. And after that age, then, if you can start to introduce it gently, it's a great idea. It's certainly something we would like to see all children flossing after, once they can, you know, at the age of 8 or 9. Or even using the interdental brushes, which I was saying earlier, are great if you want to put toothpaste in between your teeth as well.
Peter, if parents experience their child's gum bleeding for any reason, A, what does that mean? And B, should they, you know, I can't remember B now, but if it starts to bleed, what should we do?
Go to the dentist. The reasons it might be bleeding are numerous. It could be they've cut the gum, it could be they have an abscess on the tooth, it could be they have some gum irritation or gingivitis in around the tooth. So my advice would be to go to the dentist.
And is it something you come across a lot, children with gum bleeding? I mean, I'm sure you do in adults, but what about children?
Well, very few adults don't have some sort of gum bleeding, sadly. Within children, it's not a huge problem, but it depends on how well they brush their teeth. I mean, we were talking to Vicky earlier on that some children are lucky they don't get a lot of tooth decay, but if they're not brushing their teeth, their gums are going to become inflamed because the inflammation is to protect you against the bacteria. It's the way your body fights the bacteria. So when you have gum inflammation, then you need to get to the dentist to see why this is happening. So usually it's plaque and tartar cause the gums to bleed, particularly in adults. And, if adults are having bleeding gums, then they really do need to get along to the dentist and the hygienist and make sure that their oral hygiene is up to standard. But with children, it's usually the same thing, but not quite as drastic, although it can be. You can get early onset gum disease.
Okay, right.
Peter, can I just ask, if we do help them brush their teeth?
Yes.
Are we at risk of brushing too hard and, like, receding the gums or something? Because I'm very aware that it's important to look after the gums as well and not be too rough with them.
Well, you see, I would suggest that you get Oliver an electric toothbrush.
Yeah.
Now, the method for using an electric toothbrush is very different to a manual toothbrush. With an electric toothbrush, you hold the brush onto the tooth at a 45-degree angle to tooth and gum and let the toothbrush do the work.
Yeah.
If you're dealing with a manual toothbrush, you are more likely to cause trauma to either the gum or the tooth. More likely the gum, obviously. So, yes, there is a chance of that, and that's another reason why electric toothbrushes are so good. The trouble with electric toothbrushes is you should really not scrub with them. You should let the brush do the work and let it work around the mouth.
Okay.
So, yes, there is a small possibility, but it tends to be a long-term issue. So it's not something you're going to chip off a tooth with one brush. It's 20 years of doing it, 30 years of doing it.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
No problem.
Peter, can I bring you back to Kathleen Ball's question, which was which dental products are the best to children's teeth? Because I was wondering about this as well. I've got a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old.
Yes.
One toothpaste says 0 to 3. Another toothpaste says like 4 to 6. Like, does it really matter if I'm using a different one on each child? Or?
Well, from 0 to 3, you don't want to be using too heavy a fluoride toothpaste. So one of the major differences in the ages for the toothpaste are the amount of fluoride in it. So 0 to 3, it should be around 500 to 1,000 parts per million of fluoride. And then from 3 to 6, it goes up to roughly about 800 to 1,350 parts per million, depending on the toothpaste manufacturer. The manufacturer's claim, I'm not sure if it's true, but it does sound right that they use different ingredients for the different types of mouths they're going to go into. So, for example, a 0-3 one may be more suited to teeth that are teething, because there are different formulations in them, whereas a 4-6 may be more suited to milk teeth, and then a 6-plus will have obviously more fluoride in it again, but maybe more suited to the permanent teeth. So there are some very clever ingredients that manufacturers use to improve the cleaning and the amount of good that the toothpaste is doing the child. And so that's where the difference in the ages come in. Now, if you give your 3-year-old, 5-year-old's toothpaste by accident one day, it's not going to do any harm whatsoever. But just on a regular basis, you don't want them getting too much fluoride because you can get too much of a good thing. So that's the difference.
That's fantastic. Honestly, I'll be quoting you for weeks. I'll be telling everybody about that. That's so helpful. And everything, all the information you've been giving us this evening, Peter, has been invaluable.
Oh, my pleasure.
Fantastic, really. All of us are nodding away and writing notes as you're speaking. It's been so useful. And we've taken up a lot of your time now. So thank you very much for joining
us
on the Parent Show this evening. And have a lovely evening.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All the best,
Peter.
Bye.
Thank you.
Radio.
Welcome back to the Parents Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. Thank you again to dentist Peter McCarron from the Fresh Smile Dental Clinic in Belfast for all those fantastic tips for our children's teeth. I think we've all learned a lot, haven't we, this evening? Now, joining us on the phone, we have Liz Barr, who is the principal of Monkey Music in Harpenden and St Albans. Liz, are you there?
I am here. Hi.
Thank you very much for joining us on the Parents Show this evening.
That's okay.
So, Liz, tell us about Monkey Music. Everybody knows it. I doubt there's a parent in the St Albans and Harpenden area that hasn't brought their kid to at least one session of it. Tell us what the story is at the moment.
Well, it's very, very exciting times for Monkey Music. Basically, this year we're really celebrating Monkey Music's 21st birthday. Amazingly, we were launched 21 years ago by our founder, Angie Coates, who lives in Harpenden, and the head office is in Harpenden. And we're really celebrating that over 11,000 children a week across the UK now are coming to our classes. And we're also on an absolutely massive fundraising drive for Nordorf Robbins, which is our sort of partner charity, if you like, which offer a music therapy service to vulnerable children and adults. So through our classes, which are going on every week and we're having fantastic times, we're also raising money for them.
That's excellent. So tell us a little bit about how parents can contribute and tell us a bit about the charity.
Okay, what we've been doing in the classes is we've had a fantastic free prize draw where the children have been colouring in birthday cards and making a donation to Nordorf Robbins, and then we're going to have a great big prize draw in the middle of July. We're also running events at HQ, which involve cake sales and all the usual things. And basically, Nordorf Robbins is a very small charity. It's not very well known, but it does the most incredible work for, as I say, vulnerable children and adults. An example would be somebody, for example, a student that we met who was in a car accident and left in a vegetative state afterwards, which was utterly tragic for him and his family. And gradually, as the months have progressed, with the aid of the Nordorf Robbins music therapist, is making incredible progress. Music, be it for little babies from 3 months in a music class right through the whole of their lives, will respond to this kind of therapy. So it's really lovely to be involved with.
That's fantastic and great work. And is Monkey Music getting stronger and growing all the time?
It is, and it is even more so in St Albans and Harpenden, which is fantastic. Just in our area, we have over 30 classes a week, and I get asked constantly, how can I become a Monkey Music teacher? But we are very, very fussy. All of our teachers are trained musicians with a very natural empathy with young children, which is crucial. The other reason we're growing so fast across the UK is that we have a four-stage curriculum, which is critical in terms of what a baby aged 3 months is going to respond to in a class is very different to a three-year-old. And we can take them along that musical journey and really develop their musicality. And we've got over... Angie, as I say, launched the business in 1983. And in 1998, I think, she franchised it. So there's 54 Monkey Music franchises across the whole country. So there's lots and lots of choice.
Liz, I have to say, I can remember every Monkey Music song, and so can all the
others. Bless you.
And do you know what I've got in my head? I've got, where is Monkey
hiding? Where can he be? I'm so glad to hear that. That's fantastic. We also now have a very, very lovely life-size monkey who is around and about St Albans and Harpenden. He opened Harpenden Carnival a couple of weeks ago, and you will see him on the streets of St Albans and Harpenden.
Well, that's better.
Tell him we're asking for him.
That was the weekly, I remember at the end of, you know, midway through the lesson when they throw out a monkey to each child and the dive for the monkey.
Well, anybody who hasn't been along, please contact us and come along for a complimentary class, because every week I'm blown away by going to the classes and seeing them. They are fantastic.
Yeah, it's great fun. Brilliant. Thanks a million for joining us.
Oh, no problem at all. Thanks for inviting me.
All the best. Thanks, Liz.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Neve Solicitors are proud to sponsor the Parent Show. The friendly team at Neve's includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit nevesolicitors.co.uk. Neve Solicitors, your complete legal solution.